Turn, please, to the book of Matthew, 27th chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 1043. Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 57. We'll read responsibly through verse 61. Matthew 27, 57 through 61, page 1043, and let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And together on verse 61, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you for the blessed time of the hour when we spent with the choir and the lovely voices singing thy praises and remembering the coming of Jesus to the earth. We thank you for that. We thank you too for what's in store for us in the moments to come. Give us hearts that are hungry. Give us carefulness about listening to the most important thing that's being done in any place in this world, that of preaching your word, and we pray that you'd make it what we need and help us to use it as we should. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank Brother Wilbur for filling in for me tonight. I was supposed to sing that, but I'm a little hoarse tonight. At the last minute, I had to ask him to fill in, and I certainly think he did an acceptable job. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. You may never come back if you keep that kind of attitude. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. I'm not going to use tonight the tool of humor or dynamics much. I'm going to talk to you about the subject, the other Mary. It says there is Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. So I ask you tonight to sit up straight, look right this way, listen to me on purpose, and don't require me to do too much to hold your attention. I want to tell you what I think is one of the most beautiful, sweet little truths in the Bible as we talk about the other Mary. Our Heavenly Father, bless us tonight as we think about a little lady that not much is said about in the Bible, a little lady that has no powerful name nor powerful deeds attributed to her, the other Mary. Bless us as we think about her. May we find some truth and truths that will help us to be in this Christmas season what you would like us to be and to do what you would like us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a star in the Bible. We sometimes even make her more than she really was. So was Mary Magdalene, the converted demoniac. She was a star in the Bible. It was she who followed our Savior during much of his earthly ministry and did all she could to serve him and to praise him and to show her love for him. So was Mary, the mother of Mark, a star in the Bible, the mother of one of the 12 apostles, the mother of one of the writers of the New Testament, and she was certainly a star in the Bible. So was Mary, the wife of Cleophas, a star in the Bible. Tonight, I want to talk about the other Mary. That's all the Bible calls her, the other Mary. Now, there are some disputings about which Mary this is, but I have no doubt in my mind as to which Mary it is. And I want to talk to you tonight about the other Mary. Not Jesus' mother, earthly mother, not the Magdalene to whom our Lord appeared first in His resurrection body, not the mother of Mark, who was such an influential woman in the Bible, not Mary, the mother of the wife of Cleophas, but the other Mary. Her womb never carried the Christ child. No voice ever said to her, "Blessed art thou among women." It was not to her that Jesus appeared in His resurrection body. She was just the other Mary. Her son was not an apostle or a writer of the Bible. She was just the other Mary. She wrought no miracles, performed no great task, and did no great deeds. Her name is never attached to a great victory such as was attached to Deborah, or even to kind deeds as was given to Dorcas in the New Testament. She was just the other Mary. All she ever did, this is interesting, all she ever did pertained to the feet of Jesus. Every time she is mentioned in the Bible, it deals with Jesus' feet. You never read a thing about the other Mary without our Lord mentioning something about the feet of Jesus. 9 times in the Bible, she is mentioned concerning some kind of thing she did to the feet of Jesus. In Luke chapter 7, we'll not turn to these, but Luke chapter 7 and verse 38, Jesus was invited to the home of a Pharisee. A woman, during the meal, who was a sinner, that's all the Bible says she was, who was a sinner. Hey, already I know she's qualified to come to Jesus. He loves sinners. He came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so, when I said of whom I am chief, I wish you wouldn't say that's right, Brother O'Clair. But she rushed in. The Bible simply said, called her a woman that was a sinner. Now, the first of the 9 things that this other Mary did was to stand at His feet. The Bible says that she stood at His feet. And then some of the most beautiful things you'll ever find in the Bible follow. The Bible says then she washed His feet. Listen to me now. Listen to me. She washed His feet. The Bible says she washed His feet with her tears. Isn't that beautiful? Now that means she cried an awful lot. I think she got saved, don't you? I mean, she cried that much because, like one little boy said to his little brother, Johnny came to get saved. He said, "Mama, Johnny didn't get saved because he's just on one knee at the altar." Well, she cried enough at the where she could wash Jesus' feet with her tears. So the Bible says that she stood at His feet, and then it says that she washed His feet with her tears, and then it says she dried His feet with her hair. Now that's where I'll have to stop. I could stand at His feet. I could wash His feet with my tears. But if I dried His feet with my hair, He would have to have mighty small feet, I'll tell you for sure. But this beautiful story, can you get the picture? Here is a Pharisee with Jesus eating in his home. And suddenly there rushes in a sinful woman, a sinner. Now, when it says sinner, it implies, the Pharisees implied later on, I'll tell you about it, that she must have done something real, real wrong as men count sin. And she was an awful sinner. And she rushes in. She stands at His feet. She washes His feet with her tears. And she dried His feet with her hair. And then the Bible says that she kissed His feet. Now, already we found 4 things concerning the feet of Jesus that the other Mary did. She stood at His feet, she washed His feet with her tears, she dried His feet with her hair, and she kissed His feet. And then the Bible says she took an alabaster box of ointment and she anointed the feet of Jesus Christ. 5 things in this one little story. She stood at His feet, she washed His feet, She dried his feet, she kissed his feet, and she anointed his feet with the ointment that came from the alabaster box. And the Pharisees said, if Jesus had known what she had done, if he was a prophet, he would have known what she would have done, and he wouldn't have let her do that. Ah, listen, Jesus never turns down a sinner. Oh, no. Come ye, all ye that weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he said. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Doesn't matter what you've done tonight, you come to the feet of Jesus and receive him as your Savior. Christ receiveth sinful men, and he'll receive you. Ah, sinner, tonight, if you're here anywhere in this great crowd, this great sea of faces, and they're tucked all over this building, if you do not know that you're saved, you come to Jesus tonight. Jesus receives sinners. That's what it's all about. The Son of Man is come into the world to save sinners and to seek sinners and to save sinners. And he came in the world to save you. So, that's the first thing I want to say tonight. You come to Jesus' feet. By the way, that's the only place you can come to get saved. You come to the church, you won't get saved. You come to the altar, and that just the altar, you won't get saved. You come to the baptismal pool, you won't get saved. You come to the sacrament, you won't get saved. You come to the priest, you won't get saved. Ah, but you come to the feet of Christ, and you kneel at those nail-scarred feet and look up and say, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'll guarantee your name be in heaven before you get through with that prayer. It's written down in heaven. And so this other Mary, not the Mary that carried in her womb the body of our Lord. Not the Mary to whom it was said, blessed art thou among women. Not the Mary who was the wife of the well-known Cleophas. Not the Mary who was the mother of John Mark. Not the Mary who was the Magdalene possessed of seven demons who got saved and became the great follower and the helper and succorer of our Lord. Not those Marys, not those famous Marys, just the other Mary, the one who could come. And by the way, that's something anybody can do. Anybody can come to the feet of Jesus. Anybody can kneel at the cross and say yes to Christ. Now, I turn your attention to the second little act in our play tonight. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 39, Jesus was invited to another house to eat. Are you listening to me now? This couple here, I want you to hear me now real carefully. That's his way. And everybody, listen to me now while I'm speaking. If you're gonna sit down close to the front, then look at me and act like you're interested whether you are or not, and do your courting some other time. But the next little incident we have tonight is in Luke chapter 10 and verse 39. They invited him to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Now this is the other Mary. She was the sister of Martha and the sister of Lazarus. When I put down my outline here, it was just natural. I said, this Mary was the sister of Martha and the brother of Lazarus. It just seems so normal to say that. But she was not the brother of anybody. But she was the sister of Martha and the sister of Lazarus. And the Bible says that Martha was in the kitchen, and she was frying some okra, and she was making some cornbread and churning some buttermilk. And I'm just going in the Greek now. Brother Rasmussen's a scholar. He'll agree to what I'm saying here. And or a few Yankees, she was making some pizza. But so happened she wasn't a Yankee. Jerusalem was in the southern part of the country, and she was making some turnip greens and she was also making some grits and hominy and so forth, and she was in the kitchen. Now, nothing wrong with that. Thank God for Martha's. God bless Martha's. I love Martha. Have you noticed that? But Mary, the other Mary, this is the woman that sat, that came and stood at the feet of Jesus in Luke chapter 7. Hey, this is the woman who washed his feet with her tears. Hey, this is the woman who dried his feet with the hairs of her head. Hey, this is the woman who kissed his feet, and the woman who anointed his feet with the ointment that came from the alabaster box. And the Bible says that while Martha was cumbered about with much serving, nothing wrong with that, Mary was sitting at his feet. And that's the sixth thing that Mary did to the feet of Jesus. She stood at his feet. She washed his feet.
with her tears. She dried his feet with her hair. She kissed his feet with her lips. She anointed his feet with the ointment from the alabaster box. And now then, this scene where she's in the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, the other Mary comes and sits at his feet. And Martha said, Jesus, tell Mary to come in here and help me. Good night. I got the cornbread's burning, and I need some help in here. And she's not helping, and have her come and help me. Ah, Jesus said, Martha, you're doing a good thing, and I'm glad you are. But he said, Mary hath chosen the needful part. Mary has chosen a needful thing. Now, what does this tell about the other Mary? Not only did the other Mary come to the feet of Christ and get forgiveness, not only did the other Mary come to the feet of Christ and get saved, not only did she come at the feet of Christ weeping and asking forgiveness and washing his feet and drying his feet with her hair and kissing his feet and anointing his feet with the ointment from the alabaster box, but now she sits at his feet. May I say this? Let's take time to serve God, but take time to sit at his feet. There's a certain thing about the Christian life that we'll miss in a church like this if we don't watch it, and that is we'll miss the devotional part of Christianity. Go work your bus route, and we ought to. God knows we ought to reach everybody we can in this old sin-sick area. But bus workers, don't forget to take time to sit at Jesus' feet. I mean, the Bible says that she sat at his feet, and in Luke chapter 10, it says she heard his word. She heard his word. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto thee. And after the fire and the wind, he heard a still small voice. And so I'm simply saying that this other Mary, she was the one not only who anointed his feet and washed his feet and dried his feet and kissed his feet and stood at his feet, but she's also the one that sat at his feet. Take time to build a Christian college and all the activities of the college. But don't forget to stop and sit at Jesus' feet. That's what it's all about. And Jesus enjoyed it when she sat at his feet. Take time to build your Sunday school class. You should. Take time to reach the deaf and the blind and the servicemen and the Vietnamese and the Cambodians and the Chinese people. And take time to reach the high school, public school young people. And take time to reach the Pathfinders. That's important. It's a part of God's work. But just as much as that's an important part of God's work, even so it is important that you take time to sit at his feet. There ought to be some time in every Christian's life, and especially in this Christmas season, for you to sit at the feet of Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Don't spend all Christmas time shopping and buying and selling and exchanging. And don't spend all your Christmas time decorating Christmas trees and standing on a mistletoe. You college students, don't you do that at all. But I'll kick you with my mistletoe if you do that. But take time for that. Good night. I'll call my lawyer. I've broken my toe here. But take time to enjoy the Christmas season and the carols and the fun and the parties and all of that. But it's an abomination in the sight of Almighty God. When God's people come to the time, we remember the coming of the Christ child. That one who was prophesied from Genesis through Malachi, who now has come. He's come. He lives. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Take some time during this Christmas season, if you're a sinner, to run to his feet and weep, and as if you could, wash his feet with your tears and wipe them with your hair and kiss his feet and ask forgiveness and come to Christ. What a good time to do it. But if you're already saved, don't forget to sit at Jesus' feet like the other Mary did. We leave that little scene from the dining room or of the Pharisee to the dining room of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. We leave that scene, we come to another scene, and that is a scene of tragedy. Lazarus, the one whom Jesus loved, had died. Mary and Martha were so concerned. And they sent for Jesus. And when Jesus heard about it, Lazarus die, the Bible said Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loves you too, by the way. And so he started coming. And the Bible says that Martha ran to meet him. But one little line says, Mary sat still in the house. Mary sat still in the house. And Martha comes and says, I like this, says, Mary, the Master has come and calleth for thee. I wonder why the Master called for her. Because he liked Martha's cornbread and buttermilk and turnip greens and squash and fried okra, but he liked Mary sitting at his feet best. The Master has come and calleth for thee. And when Martha said that to Mary, Mary got up and rushed to Jesus, and the Bible says she fell down at his feet. And it's that place where the Bible says Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He knew he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he wept. Why did he weep? He did not weep because Lazarus was dead. He knew he was about to come forth. He wept because somebody he loved was sad. And there was Mary. She fell down at his feet. I said first, O sinner, come to the feet of Jesus like the other Mary did. I said second, O saint of God, come to the feet of Jesus like and worship and adore him. And hear him like the other Mary did. I say thirdly, O burdened one, come to the feet of Jesus. Come to the feet of Jesus if your little baby's body just has been placed in the grave. Come to the feet of Jesus and you'll find comfort and strength and help and solace and encouragement. Come to the feet of Jesus if the doctor said it's cancer and it's terminal, and you'll find encouragement and strength. As did these sisters came to Jesus, and Mary fell down at his feet. And she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. What was she saying? She was saying, Jesus, I need you. I've got a heavy heart. I'm bereaved. I'm sad. I need you. If you're sad tonight, don't go to the psychiatrist. Come to the feet of Jesus. If you're sad tonight, don't go to the psychologist. Come to the feet of Jesus. If you're sad, don't go to the counselor. Come to the feet of Jesus. That's where you'll find refuge. That's where you'll find courage. That's where you'll find strength. The other Mary, when she was a sinner, she came to the feet of Jesus and she washed them and she wiped them and she kissed them and she anointed them. And then when she was with him, she came and sat at his feet and worshipped him and adored him and loved him and praised him and glorified him and honored him. But now she's burdened, and into every life there comes a burden. I do not know what your burden is, but as I look out over this crowd, I see burdens all over this room tonight. You won't be married very long before you'll have a burden. They call them husbands. That's pretty nice to you gals on that one. I could have said they call them wives and told the truth instead of lying like I just did. But you won't, listen, it won't be long. Won't be long. A little baby will be born, and you'll have expected it and longed for it, and the doctor will say something's wrong with the baby. Then you come to the feet of Jesus, and he'll comfort you. It won't be long till your heart will be broken because maybe, as one young man said the other day, a little baby is born, had two little feet that pointed toward each other, two little club feet. We have a granddaughter has a club, one club foot. This little baby, two club feet. If you've been heartbroken because of a baby, a baby's death or a baby's illness, come to the feet of Jesus. If your husband's been taken by death and you have an empty place across from you at the table, come to the feet of Jesus. If your body is racked by pain or arthritis and your arms are twisted, your hands are twisted, and you have to walk a few steps at a time, come to the feet of Jesus. If you're brokenhearted tonight and it seems like you won't see the sun ever again, and you can't see your hand in front of your face, and midnights are all you have, and no noondays, and darkness is all you have, and no sunshine, come to Jesus' feet. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Are you a sinner? Like the other Mary, come to his feet tonight and be saved. Are you busy in the Master's service like Martha was? Cumbered about with much serving, program chairman for the WMS maybe, or choir director for a children's choir, or a teacher at a Christian school, or an administrator at a school, or a Sunday school departmental superintendent, or a bus captain, or a division leader, or a bus worker, or you work in some other place of the church and you're cumbered about with much serving. Hold it! Stop it! Hold it! Stop it! Take some time to sit at the feet of Jesus and look up at Him. Let Him speak to you. And He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And then also take time, if you're burdened tonight, to come to the feet of Jesus. Now don't you see? Here's Martha. I'm Mary, the other Mary. Not the one that carried the Christ child. Not the one that mothered the apostle. Not the one who was the wife of the well-known Cleophas. Not the one who was the Magdalene who followed the Savior and whom He appeared first in His resurrection body. This is the other Mary. Nothing is ever said about her except she came to the feet of Jesus, that's all. And He loved it. He loved it. He enjoyed it. And so I'm saying, when her time came to get in her life where she wanted to be saved, she came to the feet of Jesus. When time came where she wanted to get meditated, she came to the feet of Jesus. You haven't got to go lie on a psychiatric couch. Go to Calvary and kneel at the cross and at the feet of Jesus. And then when she had a burden and a heartache, she knew where to go. She went to the feet of Jesus and she knelt at the feet of Jesus. There are seven things we've told that she did concerning His feet. First, she stood at His feet in the house of the Pharisee. In that same house, we learned that she washed His feet with her tears. In that same house, we learned that she wiped His feet and dried them with her hair. In that same house, we learned that she kissed His feet after she had washed them and dried them. And I suggest if you kiss anybody's feet, wash them and dry them first. That's a good idea. And she kissed His feet. And after she had kissed His feet, then she anointed His feet with the ointment that came from the alabaster box. And then the sixth thing she did, she sat at His feet and listened to His word and adored Him and worshipped Him. And the seventh thing she did, she fell down at His feet when her heart was broken. So I'm saying, in every area of her life, the answer was coming to Jesus' feet. And in every area of your life, the answer is coming to Jesus' feet. You got troubles? Come to Jesus' feet. Have heartaches? Come to Jesus' feet. Have sins? Come to Jesus' feet. Need to be saved? Come to Jesus' feet. And this Mary, about whom nothing is said in all the Bible except that dealt with the feet of our Savior, we come to our next place. Again, she was having supper. Jesus was having supper in the house of Simon the leper. The supper was in His Jesus' honor. And suddenly, this Mary came. The Bible says she took a pound of ointment, and it was expensive ointment, and she poured that entire pound of ointment on Jesus' feet. And Judas Iscariot was there. He was the church treasurer. And Judas Iscariot was there. And he said, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that. Well, you could have sold that for a lot of money and give it to the poor." And Jesus said, "You leave her alone. You leave her alone." And she came and she wiped His feet again with her hair. The other Mary. I'm glad not much is said. I'm glad nothing is said about what was she taught a Sunday school class? I don't know. Did she do any great deeds? I don't know. Did she do any great alms? I don't know. Did she sow for the poor? I don't know. Was she the mother of a great Christian? I don't know. All I know was every time she had a need, she found her need met at the feet of Jesus Christ. May I say, come to His feet to give in the Christmas season. Don't let the Christmas season pass without giving. I'm not talking about giving an electric toy to the kids. I'm talking about giving to Jesus. I'm talking about some kind of a sacrifice. Every single Christian in the Christmas season ought to sacrifice something with a gift. I don't know how much it would be for you to sacrifice, but you ought to sacrifice something. Now, you know, did you know the poor are supposed to give to the poor also? I was down in Jamaica preaching, and you never saw such poverty in your life. I mean, little old church building, it was pitiful, and the pews weren't pews. They were just slat benches, and they were just barely holding up. And while I was preaching, I'd see lizards climbing up the walls on the side. And looked inside the pulpit, little pulpit down here, and there was a little guest inside the pulpit also there. A lizard crawled. Anything that crawls, I don't like it. I don't like snakes. I don't like worms. I don't like babies to learn to walk. And those poor, poor people there, they wouldn't have had that church had it not been for American missions and missionaries. But you know what? The dear old pastor got up and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're taking our regular missionary offering tonight." And I thought, missionary offering? Down here at this poverty-stricken area? And I said to him later on, I said, where do you missionaries serve? He said, in America. Yeah, they were sending missionaries to us heathen up here in America. And you ought to give. What did this Mary do? When time came to get saved, she came to the feet of Jesus. When time came to worship and learn the Bible, she came to the feet of Jesus. When time came, she was saddened and bereaved. She came to the feet of Jesus. And when time came to give, she came to give at the feet of Jesus. That's one reason why I don't give to a lot of this junk. I don't give United Way. I don't want to give to Catholic dances. I just don't care for that, thank you. I always give my gifts at the feet of Jesus. If I got something to give, I give to the feet of Jesus. If I'm going to give retarded people, I give to retarded people over here. If I'm going to give to the deaf, I give to those deaf. If I'm going to give to the dumb, I give again over here. And if I'm going to give to the blind, I give to those back there. I'm simply saying that if I'm going to give to the poor, I'm going to go to the feet of Jesus to give. And so this sweet, precious woman, oh, I'm glad she's in the Bible. What a sweet little lady. Something about the feet of Jesus. I don't understand it. But something about the feet of Jesus. And she knelt at His feet. And she washed His feet with her tears. And she wiped them with her hair. And she kissed them. And she opened a box of ointment, an alabaster box. And she poured the ointment on Jesus' feet. And the Pharisee said, "Why, if he knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't have talked to her." Hey! That's why he talked to her, because he knew what kind of woman she was. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." If you're a sinner tonight, we may cast you out, but Jesus won't. You come to Jesus and kneel at His feet, and He'll receive you. And tonight, if you are lonely, come to Jesus. If you're sad, come to Jesus' feet. If you need forgiveness, come to Jesus' feet. And so this little lady in the house of Simon the leper, she took this ointment and she poured this pound of ointment and she gave to Him at His feet. Every time. That's nine times, the Bible says. She stood at His feet. She washed His feet. She dried His feet. She kissed His feet. She anointed His feet. She sat at His feet. She fell down at His feet. She poured on His feet. And she wiped His feet. And all of those, I'm quoting Bible word for word, that's exactly what she did. Then in Matthew 27:61, Joseph of Arimathea has come. And he said, "Could I have the body of Jesus? I want to give Him a decent burial. I have a tomb I'd like to bury Him in." And they, for some reason, gave the body of Jesus to Joseph of Arimathea. And Joseph came and he wrapped Jesus' body in clean clothes and placed Jesus' body in a sepulcher. And the Bible says, and sitting there were Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. I got a sneaking suspicion that Mary Magdalene was at the head of Jesus and the other Mary was at His feet. That's where she spent her life, at His feet. It's Christmas time. All of us can't give great gifts. All of us can't be great benefactors. All of us cannot do what we'd like to do. But there's something that every poor little child can do this Christmas. And there's something that every person that rides a bus can do this Christmas. And there's something that every widow that just has a few pennies tied in the corner of a handkerchief or down the bottom of a deep purse can do this Christmas. I tell you what you can do. You can come to His feet and you can kneel at His feet and you can worship at His feet and you can kiss, as it were, His feet and you can sit at His feet and you can fall down at His feet and you can pour out your heart's affection on His feet and you can, as it were, wipe His feet. As a sinner tonight, come to His feet and kneel and receive Him as your Savior. As a person tonight, busy, cumbered about with much serving, Come and sit at his feet. Stop it all. Hear his word. Listen to him. Let him talk to you. That's what he wants you to do. And then fall at his feet. Ask forgiveness tonight. If you've drifted away from God, come to the feet of Jesus and kiss those nail-scarred feet and look up in his face and say, Jesus, who died for me, forgive my sins tonight. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin, too long I've trod. Now I'm coming home. You come to the feet of Jesus tonight. You that only came because of the musical program tonight, why don't you come to the feet of Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and forgive your unfaithfulness and forgive the fact that you've not been serving God. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm trying to help you. I want you to be right with God. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done. Somebody said to me out here in the alley, one day one of our men, he said, Brother Hiles, I can't be saved. He was not a member here, but he came, one of his mission men. And Pete was his name. Pete was a YNO, and Pete loved me like I was his own big brother. Pete would come to my office, and he would be drunk, and he'd say, Brother Hiles, I love you. Would you give me a dollar? And I'd say, Pete, I know what you're going to do with a dollar. I can't give you any money. Oh, Brother Hiles, I want $1. I said, Pete, I know what you're going to do. You're going to buy some wine. Get you a drink, a beer. I can't give you a dollar. Oh, Brother Hiles, I love you. He'd throw his old head on my shoulders and tears would fall on my shoulders and he'd smell like a wine cellar and he'd say, I love you, Brother Hiles. You're the best friend I've got. I love you. I told Pete time and time again, you ought to get saved. Pete said, I can't get saved. I said, why? He looked at me and he said, see these hands right here? He said, these hands murdered a man in cold blood. And he said, Brother Hiles, God wouldn't save me. I said, God would save you the minute you drop to your knees and ask him to forgive you. Oh, but you say, preacher, I'm a murderer. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, you say, Brother Hiles, I've sold my body for sexual pleasures and I've been a harlot or a prostitute in a red light district. Would God save me? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Brother Hiles, you understand, I've embezzled money from my company. One man said, Brother Hiles, I've embezzled hundreds of thousands of dollars. I couldn't be saved. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. He'll come. You come tonight to his feet and look up at him and say, Jesus, I'm sorry I've sinned. I'll guarantee you those sins that he pushed under the blood of Christ, and God won't even be able to see your sins tonight because they'll be covered with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Fall at his feet. Give at his feet. Stand at his feet. It's Christmas time. There are several things I always do at Christmas time. I do it all year, but I especially do it at Christmas time. I get alone, and I look up, and I say, Jesus, thank you for coming. 33 homesick years away from the Father. Born in a manger. No maternity ward. No antiseptic environment. No doctor. No nurse, no midwife, no crib, no bed, no sheep. Just a manger. Thank you that you came. Thank you. Hated, despised, and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Foxes had their holes, the birds had their nests, but you had no place to lay your head. Thank you. Betrayed by your own friend, hated by your own race, crucified by your own people, rejected by your own synagogue, murdered by your own in your own city. Thank you. Thank you that you came. Hallelujah. He came. Thank God he came. If he hadn't have come, we'd have all men been most miserable. But thank God he did come. And my message to you tonight is that you, like the other Mary, they're great evangelists and great pastors, but that's not the main thing God wants. God wants you to come to his feet. These 9 sweet, simple things. You know, the hardest day for me of the year is when pastor school ends. The hardest moment of my life is when pastor school ends. We're already planning for pastor school for this coming year, of course, and have been doing some planning for a long time. And then we plan and plan and work and work and pray. And all these preachers come from all over the world and assemble here for these four nights, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday to Friday afternoon. And all of a sudden it's all over. And I walk out that door and get in the car. You know where I used to go? I used to go to my mama's place over here at 122 167th Street in Calumet City. Second floor apartment, first door on the right up the stairs and to the left on the second floor. And I used to walk in and I used to get at my mama's feet and put my head in her lap and cry for 30 minutes to an hour. And my mama would pat me on the shoulder and she'd say, "Son, I'm proud of you. Mama's gone, but Jesus will never go. He ever liveth. I can come to His feet and look up at Him and say, 'I love You. You're my Savior, and I love You.'" I don't know which was the greatest Mary. Wasn't Mary the mother of Jesus? Was she the greatest? I don't know. Or was it Mary the wife of Cleophas? Was she the greatest Mary? I don't know. Or was it the Mary the Magdalene? Was she the greatest? I don't know. Or was it Mary the mother of John Mark? Was she the greatest? I don't know. But I got a sneaking suspicion that the other Mary was the greatest of the five. It was she who every time she saw the Savior went to His feet, stood at His feet, washed His feet with her own tears, dried His feet with her own hair, kissed His feet with her own lips, anointed His feet with the ointment, sat at His feet in her house, fell at His feet when she was burdened, came at His feet again in the house of a meal of Simon the leper. Come to His feet. Don't let Christmas pass without coming to His feet. Have you failed in your plan of the storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn through its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. But there are other scars also. There are scars in His feet. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please?